Well, this evening we're going to start off in the book of Romans. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 12, and we're going to look and read the first five verses. Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. And it starts out, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." I had the opportunity, you know, as many of you know, I'm in the lumber business. Actually, this is my 31st year in the lumber business. And it's, you know, as you know, I deal with the Amish and I deal with what they consider English, which is us. That's what they call us as English. But I had the opportunity a while back. Generally, I deal with them on a, you know, on a separate basis. But occasionally, I'm able to get groups together. And just so happened that day, we got to talking about different tools that we use in our trade. Of course, everything that the English, as far as us, use is all power tools. It's either electrical tools, tools that run on air compressors, or of course, you know, one of the biggest items now is what they call the cordless line, and they actually use gas fuel cells. Now, occasionally they will buy a hammer off of me for something, maybe if just nothing else, for a little tight spot to drive a nail in. But that's about the only time you sell a normal guy a hammer. But anyway, the Amish, of course, they're still the old, you know, the old school. They still use the little hand drills that, you know, have the little handle on them. And pretty much every job I send out for them, you know, a job of some size, I usually have to send a couple sharp saws because they wear those saws down. I mean, it's amazing. They can cut a board with those saws as good as the other guys can cut a board with an electric saw. But, and of course, hammers generally run $15 to $20, $30. But anyway, I ordered a hammer today for an Amish guy. It was actually a $200 hammer. But, you know, that's their livelihood, and they want something that's definitely going to last. But you know, I left that day, you know, just thinking about that, about all the different tools. And then as I got to thinking later on my drive back, I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, when they talk, things that just comprehend and get to thinking about. And something I got to thinking about after I left there, that, you know, our God, He has choice shaping tools too. And tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, what God's choice shaping tools, what not only what they are, but how He uses them. God's kindness to us is demonstrated by the fact that He doesn't leave us in the condition we were in before coming to faith. And just imagine how tragic it would be if we still thought and we still felt and we still acted the same way that we did before receiving Christ as our Savior. And throughout our lives, the Lord uses these choice shaping tools to create or to shape us into the image of His Son. And there's three very vital thoughts there that I thought of as far as tools. And I'm going to go through each one of these. And the first one I thought of is prayer. And by talking to the Lord in open dialogue, we actually develop a relationship with Him. And He becomes not just our Savior, but our friend. And as the intimacy grows, so will our passion to be with Him. And setting aside time for prayer each day will become a delight, not only a duty. And also, I was thinking about that, when we pray God's Word, it marks us on the inside. It changes us, and it builds us up. And we even unite with God's heart in a most amazing way. And our own hearts are transformed as we pray God's Word. The other one that I thought about was God's, God's Word. Prayer and God's Word. And as far as God's Word, we can't grow in our Christian life if we don't study God's Word through the week. And we have to remember that no one, including myself, of course, can live on one meal a week. So we can't expect God's truth to do its transforming work if we never let it into our minds and our hearts. I had a story that I came across. Many of you might have heard this story. It's a very, very moving story. It was a gentleman that actually was in the military, and I want to share this with you. Perhaps you've heard it, but it's just a remarkable story, and it goes of this. In Baghdad, Iraq, a 22-year-old Army private, first-class soldier named Brennan Swigart was on a critical mission wearing a bulletproof shield for protection. You can only imagine the tension in that situation. And before going out to battle, he carefully tucked his Bible in his pocket beneath his bulletproof shield. And while on a dangerous mission, he was shot with a high-powered rifle. The Bible saved his life when it shielded the bullet from his heart. He told his mother that he always carried his Bible into battle. And Brendan received a Purple Heart and was soon released from the hospital. The bullet was still in the pages of his Bible, a miraculous reminder of the amazing power and protection of the Word of God. And God's Word will protect our lives when we are in spiritual battle, and it can bring forth life in the darkest of situations. It also can save us from those fiery darts from our enemies. And also, we need to carry our Bibles into battle, just like Private did. And the other thing that I had listed there, not only prayer in God's Word, but I also thought it was very vital that the church was included in there. So the prayer, God's Word, and the church. Christ uses His body of believers as a place for transformation. That's where we rub against each other and have the rough edges of our character smoothed. It is a place of instruction, accountability, and encouragement. And as we go back to our scripture there, you notice in verses 4 and 5, Paul uses the concept of the human body to teach how Christians should live and also work together. And we are to work together under the command and authority of Jesus Christ. So I guess before, I go to a word of prayer, I guess one of the things I wanted to, ask was that, are we letting the Lord use His character shaping tools in our lives? And our culture has no shortage of worldly voices and pressures that fills minds and influence behavior. And only when we intentionally schedule time for God and His Word and His people can Christ do His transforming work in our lives. So I would like to go to a word of prayer about these topics that we've talked about. Lord, we are grateful to You that You use these tools we have discussed this evening to shape us into the image of Your Son. And we thank You that we can go to You at any time, anywhere in prayer. And we thank You for Your Word and Your truth that it speaks. And help us to let it into our minds and our hearts. And we also thank You for the church and the body of believers. Also help each of us to work together, Father. And Lord, we want everyone to have an opportunity and a chance to know You as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that You plant the seeds and be able to share with them who Jesus is and what He did for us at Calvary. Father, I do thank You for this time this evening, and just help us to work on these things that we've talked about this evening to shape us in the image of You. Father, I give You this time. We just ask You to be with each one of us the rest of this evening. Be with us as we go into prayer, for our people in our community, the ones in our church. Father, we certainly miss a lot of them that are not able to be with us from week to week, but they're certainly here with us in mind and spirit. Father, I do ask You to be with our church this weekend as the Fogles will be with us. We just pray that we'll have a good time of Your Word, and we just pray for Your leading in our conference. And we just pray that You are going to draw the people here that You have to be here this weekend. We give You the praise. Amen.